There are very few times in my life that I regret holding my tongue. There are many times in my life that I regret speaking. I remember discussions, arguments where I've said something that I wish I hadn't. And once it's out, you can't take it back. I actually remember after seminary, fresh out of seminary, there was this delight when an opportunity came up for me to share what I thought was this vast well of knowledge, to pontificate, to be an authority. There were times that I was just so sure that I just must have something important to contribute, some theological tidbit, some esoteric fact, a little nugget. And I spoke too surely, too quickly, too often. Also, to my embarrassment, more recently, I spent some time with a worldwide Christian organization called LARCH. It's a network of communities that's worldwide, and it's with people with diverse abilities living together in harmony and peace and joy. We were in France to learn about what they do, myself and two friends, one a pastor, the other a professor. And we were just craving these deep, heady, theological discussions about community. And we met this guy. His name was Tony. He was a nice guy. We thought maybe he was the janitor or the groundskeeper or something like that. And with shameful bravado, we started talking about the concept of community and all we knew, like I knew, like I was a teacher. And he quietly listened. This went on for quite some time. I learned later that he had a PhD in philosophy, was the leader of the LARCH community in France, was one of the original founders with Jean Vanier. Thinking of these things, all the ways I've spoken foolishly, all the times I've been a bad listener, I'm drawn to Proverbs 18:13, and I'd like to read this to you today. It's very short. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. That proverb, that wisdom, is deeply challenging. And that proverb could sure find its place taped to the top of computer screens. That proverb could actually be included as a reminder on Facebook and Twitter and social media sites right before the button, share, like, status update. A big caution. Think before you click. Verify before sharing. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be spending some time in Proverbs, and there's so much here for us. It's full of wisdom, like densely packed calories of knowledge, compressed into these memorable sayings. They're so easily memorized. And these sayings should be imprinted on our hearts and follow us wherever we go. Since this is the first in the series, there's some things we need to keep in mind about Proverbs. First of all is this. Proverbs are not formulas for success. They are not promises. I'll give you an example. Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs your life, but the years of the wicked are cut short." Also Proverbs 22:6. "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't turn from it." And as we all know, there's exceptions to this wisdom. We all know of wicked people that have lived long lives, and we all know good people whose lives were tragically cut short. And some of us know of children who turn away from the ways of their parents. There are no guarantees. It's not algebra. You don't plug in wise behavior A plus fear of the Lord B equals C. Lots of things can go wrong. This is how we should read the Proverbs. Fear the Lord and make good choices, and things will likely go well for you. If you don't fear the Lord and are foolish, things will likely go poorly for you. This is usually true. Proverbs focus on the general rule, but not the exceptions. Now, another important thing to keep in mind when reading Proverbs, there are two key themes guiding the whole book of Proverbs and running through the Proverbs: the fear of the Lord and wisdom. And the fear of the Lord, it's not terror. It's not like shrinking in fear. It's a healthy sense of reverence and awe for God and an understanding of our place in the universe. And wisdom in the Proverbs is not the same as knowledge. It's definitely not IQ or how smart you are. Wisdom is the posture of learning and humility before God that you apply in your life so that choices are productive and helpful and pleasing to God. And the purpose of Proverbs is to help us develop practical skills for living well in God's world. So today, Proverbs 18:13, we have this contrast. We look at the way of foolishness so that we can see the way of wisdom. It's the way of foolishness around speaking and listening. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. I love the translator's choice, spouting off. There's some different meanings that come to mind, and all of them are relevant in this verse. It could mean speaking about something in an arrogant or braggy way. I get this image of someone who is speaking loudly and not reading the room. Maybe politely, people are politely listening, and their outside voice is going, yeah, no kidding. But their inside voice is like, please stop, I can't take it anymore. And he's going on, according to my research and knowledge of politics and the economy, I can conclude that there is a stifling postmodern economic revival pre-bust market situation. Spouting off. Also, uttering something in a brash, unwelcome, or unpleasant manner. We all know the situation, it's obvious. If you don't agree with me, you're an idiot. Spouting off. And maybe the definition for preachers to pay attention to: speaking for a tedious or exasperating length of time. Spouting off. When you put the two together, spouting off without considering the facts, you end up with shameful foolishness. And the fool here is one who is blind to the way things are, a person who prefers their own ideas to the truth. A person who doesn't have the courage to be challenged, but prefers to live in the safety of their own opinions. That's a fool. Fool in the original language is one who is silly, who makes stupid decisions. That's not surprising, but interestingly, it can also mean arrogance, someone who is arrogant. A person so convinced of their own rightness that they don't listen. They don't consider new information coming in because they don't think they need it. This has nothing to do with IQ. This is a disposition. This is a choice to remain blissfully ignorant of the world around and ignorant and dismissive of new information. It's a way of constructing the world and seeing the world in the image that's desired. The fool sees the world this way. They create a reality that is preferred and more true than the facts that may be presented because they want it to be so. If we go back to verse 2 in chapter 18, it says this about fools. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. The fool here is the person that values their own answer more than new information. Spouting off before listening is both shameful and foolish. Ultimately, this way of living, this posture, is harmful to both the fool and the people involved in their lives. And there's a basic principle in this that sounds so self-evident, so obvious. It's this: when we hold a position, when we speak and promote without even considering the source or if it's true or looking at other evidence, we're fools. Proverbial fools. And that behavior is shameful because it hurts us and hurts others. The way of wisdom is seeking truth, not validation. In the way of wisdom, truth seeking beats careless speaking. When we read our proverb today, I don't think anyone would ever say, "I disagree with that. Can you please prove it to me? I don't think that's true. That doesn't seem right." But like many things in life, it's the application that's challenging. And just knowing this, just hearing it, isn't applying it. Remember, wisdom is the correct application of knowledge, not just knowing wise sayings. Applying this basic, undeniable truth is challenging for the very basic reason that I hesitate to speak out loud. We're all fools, to a degree. I'm a fool. You're a fool. I pity the fool. This is a big caution for us. When we read Proverbs, we cannot put ourselves in the position of the author, the one sharing the advice. We need to be the ones receiving the advice. And that means recognizing that we can be the proverbial fools, the one spouting off before listening to the facts. Because I am still, after all these years, after listening to all the stats and facts, after much disappointment, still a Vancouver Canucks fan. Misery loves company. I find that I can read Proverbs and very easily see the problems that are identified in other people. See, we think it's talking about the foolish person who sits over there on the other side of the room. The neighbor that you watch. Somebody else. A caricatured person, like a court jester or a yappy dog or this one, someone here is going to appreciate this, like Jimmy Hart, the mouth of the South, walking around with a megaphone, speaking really loud but never listening. And pray a pharisaical prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't make me like them. Thank you, Lord, that you filled me with overwhelming, generous measure of wisdom. Thank you. There's something else that blinds us to truth. And it's a big one, a major one. Whether you actually spout off or just don't listen. When it comes to listening, considering new information, being challenged, we all are committed to what makes us feel good. We all are committed to feeling secure, to feeling safe. We're committed to the familiar. The unwillingness and inability to listen, to consider other options, to consider ideas that are contrary to our own, is about personal validation, personal interest, and pride. It's about comfort in a position that we don't like to change. We might like the status quo of our lives, so we don't want it interrupted. We're comfortable in our viewpoints. And we routinely dismiss new information to keep those views. We all do it. The truth is, I, like you, everyone else in this room, we are very comfortable with the opinions and positions and the perspectives that we have. And we hold these close, we cling to them, we hold them tight. They're like life itself. And one of the challenges that preachers face, I discovered this early on in being a truth speaker, not a perspective reinforcer, is that when I was first started preaching, I sensed and experienced that people really liked it when I told them what they already knew in a creative, fresh way that they could remember, but didn't like being confronted by the truth of Scripture. It's very challenging. And then, as we all know, there's the whole fake news thing. Sharing news and trivia and information without researching if it's true. And that's old news. We've been doing that for a long time. Part of human nature, psychologically, it's very difficult to dislodge an opinion and replace it with a new one. But here we all are, all of us, held captive to our opinions, hostage to our own comfort and perspectives of others and what the world is like, stubbornly hanging on and clinging to the grip to see how the world is, anxious to carry on and bring this new information that we've encountered to a close because it doesn't line up with how we see things. Here we are confronted by this timeless wisdom, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. The way of wisdom, truth-seeking, beats careless speaking. And if we let it, that wisdom can change us and change the world around us, if we let it. That fool in the Proverbs, that fool has been me. Has been maybe some of you. Has been all of us. And will once again be me and you and all of us. Truth seeking beats careless speaking. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Becoming a truth speaker, a truth seeker, not a careless speaker, means seeking the truth, not your personal truth. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus about truth in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. He said this, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To be set free by truth, to live by truth, to speak truth requires three things: honesty, flexibility, and humility. It requires honesty because an evaluation or soul searching is necessary. Do I seek the truth or do I seek verification of my perspective? Those are two very different things. One leads to wisdom, the other is shameful and foolish. Becoming wise, becoming a truth seeker and truth speaker requires flexibility. Flexibility from ideology, flexibility from habit, flexibility about security. The way of wisdom is a willingness to leave fiction, bad opinions, untruths that nurture our stereotypes. It means leaving those things behind. Flexibility leads to wisdom. Rigidity leads to foolishness and is shameful. Becoming a truth seeker and a truth speaker requires humility. Humility to leave a position. Humility to not speak. I remember there was a theologian that I really enjoyed reading, and he was roundly and viciously criticized for changing his perspectives or earlier books that he'd written. I mean, he was taken to task. People were critical of him. They didn't like him. They didn't want him to speak. And I thought it was amazing that he had courage and humility to actually write something different than he'd written before. Being a truth seeker and a truth speaker requires the humility to leave a position. And most challenging, the humility not to speak, to hold the tongue, to not click share. This is all of us. If you're a quiet person that doesn't speak much anyway, I'd like to invite you to be part of this club with us. Because in the context of this verse, it's more than just speaking. It's about being confronted by information and listening instead of shutting it off. Truly listening, considering, weighing, being a truth speaker, being a truth seeker requires listening. You know, all of this wisdom stuff, you know what it's ultimately about? It's about loving God and loving others. It's about seeking His good in life for others and for yourself. It's about demonstrating God's love. It's about reflecting God's character. And this proverb invites us into that, to truly listen, to apply, and to change. And when we do that, we will be a people who demonstrate God's love to a world that is thirsty for it. Truth seeking beats careless speaking. It's the way of wisdom. It's God's way.